Welcome one and all to the high spot, the second count of 1, 2, and that's about it, because this is the second episode of the high spot alongside Jeff Martin running the board. I am Brian Berga, your host. Jeff, we had a great time last time. It was the very first episode of the high spot. This is now number 2, one of many that we're going to keep rolling along for you guys. And a lot's happened from the first episode to this one. First of all, the first thing I got to talk about right now is I'm a wrestling fan at heart. You know this more than anybody. I got to talk about the Royal Rumble this past weekend, because it's just something that just, it actually irritates me more than the whole Deflategate. Irritates me more than everything that's happened in the NBA and Major League Baseball, which we'll get into obviously when the Super Bowl is over. It was probably one of the worst Royal Rumbles I've ever seen on the WWE Network, which isn't saying much. I mean, you look at the numbers and they're doing well in the buy rates of subscribers, but wow, after that Royal Rumble this past weekend, I was close to canceling my membership. It was that bad.
Brian, not to mention being disappointed by the lack of snow that we didn't get here in the tri-state area. I mean, that was a little deflating, but the WWE Royal Rumble did not live up to expectations. And getting a chance to look at it again last night when they replayed the two big matches, because to me that was basically all that they had was those two matches. The Brock Lesnar-Cena Rollins, it had its great moments, and that one lived up to the expectations. I was pleasantly surprised with John Cena, was very, very surprised of Brock Lesnar taking a bump like that towards Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins took a high-risk maneuver. It was awesome, and so I give that an A. But the Royal Rumble match itself really let me down. It was a chance for the WWE to get started off on the right foot on the road to WrestleMania, but they didn't. I think it fell flat. I just don't think there were a lot of key moments. And what do you want to start off with, Brian? Do you want to analyze the Rollins-Cena-Lesnar triple threat match?
Yeah, I don't think.
Or do
think,
you want to go to the Royal Rumble match?
I don't think it's worth it's worth mentioning, because that's the only match that saved the pay-per-view, in my opinion. I'm more irritated by the Royal Rumble match itself, the 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal, which had a lot of surprise entries, had its kind of twists and turns, but it basically led nowhere to me. And what really upset me, and what upset a lot of fans during the match in Philly, was the fact that we're all excited. We've waited this whole time to wait Daniel Bryan to come back, and he's eliminated even before the Rumble starts. He's in the ring with Bray Wyatt. You have more than four people in there, and all of a sudden, boom, he's out. So you basically just set your crowd. You just said to your crowd, you know what? We don't care what you think. We don't care who you root for. We don't listen to the supposed, what they call now, the WWE universe. So, you know, you're just going to pay your ticket and just sit there and enjoy what we force feed you. And that's the thing I hate the most, and it's something we'll probably talk a lot on as the months go by, about the WWE just kind of force feeding things, because they have their own mindset, the creative machine, as you want to call it, and they want to basically put whatever they want, saying, this is what we're going for. We don't care what you say. We're going to keep pushing through it. We've seen this with numerous superstars before that had gotten breaks and didn't really, in the fans' opinions, deserve them. But again, who are we to say it? You know, they probably worked hard for it in some capacity, but didn't really deserve it. Perfect example is the poster child for this is John Cena. Hate to keep bringing him up every single time.
But you do.
But he's the perfect example of it. And now the WWE wants to put Roman Reigns in that spotlight. He's going to be the next guy, because eventually John Cena's time will come and he will have to hang up his laces. Not wrestling boots, just sneakers or Vans, whatever he wears. And Roman Reigns will be the next guy. But Roman Reigns, as much as he has all the potential, it's not that he's not living up to the potential, he's just not there yet. Compared to when they broke up in the Shield, they really exposed Roman Reigns. And I see a guy like Seth Rollins and even Dean Ambrose more deserving of it than Roman. And by doing that, the crowd just completely lost it, booed everybody out of the building. From the announcers to the concession stand, the workers, they booed everybody. They just couldn't stand it anymore. And I told you this before, Jeff, the three main crowds, at least in my mind, off the top of my head, you don't want to piss off. You don't want to piss off Philly. You don't want to piss off people in New York. And you certainly don't want to piss off the fans in Chicago because they'll just take over the show.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there. I was going to say that. If you're going to have a show in Philly, and this is why I expected big things from the WWE, is because it is Philly. It is ECW territory. And you would think that a place like that, you're not going to fool them. And especially, as I mentioned to you tons of times, the WWE wrestling fans, they're smart fans. They're not going to be force-fed any wrestler that they don't want to cheer for. And again, this is like circa 10 years ago when we've been force-fed John Cena. Again, hey, he does capture a target audience, and that's fine. And the WWE's rolled with it, and they've made a lot of money. But for the avid, the pure wrestling fan, the one that knows exactly who they want to cheer for, they're not getting that. And I'm going to say it pisses them off because, hey, they knew who the guy is. They're still on the Daniel Bryan bandwagon. They still want to see more of him. He didn't lose a title. Unfortunately, he got hurt. And then you have the stigma that, hey, this guy is fragile and he was a B-plus player. And he's not the kind of guy that can carry the load for the company. So they go back to the big guy. They look back to the guy that has the look. And take nothing away from Roman Reigns. In a couple of years, will he be good? I see a big-time player there. Just don't see it yet. And last night on Monday Night Raw, we got a chance to see him in an interview, a sit-down with Michael Cole. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But still, getting a tad better in the interviews, but not to the point where, like, I'm buying this guy and I can see this guy be the face of the company. Not yet. He's got a pretty face, but I don't think he can be the face of the company.
To me, define what a tad is. Because the way he did interviews in The Shield, which he never really did anything, all he did was believe that or believe in The Shield, which is kind of his MO, his gimmick. When they broke up, from where he started when he was finally going on a single solo career and kind of rising up and gaining momentum, but then getting some resentment because of it, everybody talked about on the internet when he was injured. He's taking acting lessons. He's doing that. Well, apparently he wasn't taking enough because it'd be naive of me to think he would improve that quickly, but if that's the best you can give me after all this time he's been out, what was he at, like for 3 or 4 months?
See, Brian, I know you have the high standard. I know.
It's not a high standard to be sitting there, ask the question, even if it's a scripted answer, to be able to say it clearly in a way that doesn't sound scripted.
Yeah, but it's not his fault that he missed that time off, and you can't take acting lessons and think that you're going to come back and do well until you're in that environment again. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to be as down on him on the interview skills and the mic skills. I more think his wrestling work needs to do a better job and tell a story. I still think he's limited a little bit in the wrestling attributes. But as far as the interview, yeah, the first interview with Michael Cole, yeah, that was a little bit shaky. I was like biting my tongue, grinding my teeth. I actually felt like, get through this, just get through this, you know, and then get to the next interview. And he got through it okay, maybe not so much. But the second interview with Roman Reigns, when he told a story, when he told about, you know, his family and where he came from, I think that stuff will make him likable. And I think Paul Heyman really did a great job in actually selling the pay-per-view and actually believing that there is a rivalry that's brewing between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. So I'm not going to be as down on him yet. I'm going to be more down on him on his wrestling attribute. I mean, he's a Superman punch, and then he's a couple of other wrestling moves. Can he improve? Yes, but I think if you're going to fight with Brock Lesnar, I think that Roman Reigns is going to have to carry his end, because if Brock Lesnar is going to be just brute force and he's going to suplex and suplex and suplex, you can't go more than 10 minutes in the main event, and I think that's what he has to work on the most.
I completely disagree with you on that point. I mean, when you talk to me about how you're not that down on him in terms of his interview skills and needs to work more on his wrestling per se, I mean, let's look at perfect examples. Guys like, for example, Bret the Hitman Hart. And these are only two off the top of my head. I'm sure there are many, many more. You know, the many more great technicians out there that never got their rep because they were never good on the mic. Daniel Bryan's also one that pops in my mind. You know, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero. These guys were constantly, even Chris Jericho, were constantly.
Yeah, but those are wrestlers. I'm not talking about Roman Reigns.
Well, I'm not even going to put Chris Jericho in this interview, in this segment, because he could talk on the mic and go. The point I'm trying to make here, Jeff, is that you're talking about Roman Reigns. He's improved his wrestling ability. How many wrestlers? Again, going back to John Cena again. Let me make my point first. John Cena again. How many moves does he have in his repertoire? I mean, how great of a technician is he in the ring?
But you put him with the right person, he's entertaining. If you're going to put him in with Brock Lesnar, then he needs to help carry that match more. Because
what carries John Cena more? His in-ring ability or the ability he has to connect with the crowd?
The ability with the crowd, but as of late, I mean, if you look at his match with Daniel Bryan, last night he got put in with Seth Rollins. He is convincible. He is, to me, he is. You think he's overrated. I think he's a little bit underrated because, you know what? He can have an exciting match. I mean, looking at the network before, I saw the matchup he had with Edge in the TLC match. I saw that match, and I'm like, whoa, this guy can entertain me. I seen him in the first Lesnar one, which WWE doesn't want to admit that he won that one. I don't know why, but in that matchup for Extreme Rules, I was entertained. I mean, there's some matches that I just doesn't click, like him and Randy Orton. But to me, John Cena is... He needs to be given a little bit more credit than that. I wouldn't even put him in the category of Roman Reigns yet. I think John Cena is a notch above Roman Reigns as far as the wrestling skills.
I'm not discrediting John Cena, Jeff. The fact that John Cena has a very limited repertoire he's been using. He pulls a couple things out. You're right. He works better with people that are better ring technicians or mechanics, whatever you want to call them. He does better with people like that. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho. Didn't do really good at Triple H.
Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins.
Okay, these are guys that work great with him. When Roman Reigns works with him, he doesn't do so good. But again, he has a very limited base of repertoire in his wrestling arsenal. Look at Hulk Hogan. How many moves did he have? And he was able to connect with the crowd.
Bro, you want him,
1 second.
You want him to
wait,
talk.
Wait.
Him to talk, right?
Yeah.
But his talking is only going to pump you up for the main event. If he doesn't wrestle
talking,
when you get
what
there,
what talking
it's
does
defla-
he have?
It's gonna deflate.
He has neither. Huh. So what?
But I think, wouldn't you think? I think here's the thing. I think he needs to better his wrestling skills right now. And you know what, Paul Heyman for now
that's not
going to
help. That's not going to help him right now because even if he proves his wrestling skills, he can't talk on the mic. So what good is he if nobody wants to believe in him? If nobody can relate to him, he's going to be somebody who can work well in the ring. And that's it. He's going to sell tickets. He's going to put people in the seats like John Cena does, like Hulk Hogan did, like Stone Cold Steve Austin did. I mean, these guys weren't great technicians. I mean, Austin's probably better than all three of them put together. But at the same time, they sold matches from the way they talk and the way they connected with the crowd and how they thought things off the top of their head. Roman Reigns can't connect to the crowd. He can't say a promo without stuttering. He doesn't believe in what he's saying, so why is anybody going to believe it? Why am I going to believe it? And you just sold it for me, Jeff. The only reason why now we're set for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns is because of Paul Heyman. It has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. It has nothing to do with what he said.
I think
Paul Heyman sold us on it. And you want to talk about Brock Lesnar being a great technician?
I think you're cranky.
Brock Lesnar can only do a suplex. And this surprised me about Brock Lesnar, Jeff, because he used to be really good in the ring when he first started before he left to play football and then went to the UFC. Now it looks like he doesn't care.
Right.
We want to make him the beast, right? And he just throws people without any regard to them, and it looks good intimidating.
That's his intimidating style. That's what it is.
Okay, so you put that in with Roman Reigns. Are you gonna get a 5-star match here? No, you're not. It's gonna be like this. It's gonna be similar to WrestleMania 20 when you have Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but that's why Roman Reigns has to help on his end. I think it's more important for this match that his wrestling ability supersedes his mic skills right now. In the future, yes, the mic skills are going to be important because he has to be believable as the champion. But right now, carry him to WrestleMania, get him there, and then the WWE award.
How do you get him there? How do you improve his wrestling ability?
I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a wrestling.
No, but
teacher,
you're just telling me right now that improving his wrestling skills is more important than his mic skills right now, leading into WrestleMania. If he wrestled every single day to WrestleMania, how much better is his repertoire going to be to carry the match and carry Brock Lesnar? I don't think they're selling this as a great powerhouse technician against like the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, an animal, a force meaning an immovable object. It's not going to be that way.
So
it's going to be a slugfest.
So you just told me that Brock Lesnar's sloppy in the ring and he doesn't talk. So who carried him? Who was his mouthpiece? Because they realized that he can't talk. But his actions in the ring...
Well, apparently he didn't watch Brock Raw Lesnar. Last time because he did talk finally. He was actually himself.
But before that, how did they build up Brock Lesnar? Not through him talking, because once he talked, oh my God, it was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So Paul Heyman spoke for him. Paul Heyman is speaking for Roman Reigns. Believe it or not, yesterday, Paul Heyman introduced the whole family aspect, introduced the Rock angle, introduced all those things, and it actually, you know, made me hyped up for the match. That's why I'm saying Paul Heyman can carry this battle between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Listen, Brock Lesnar, you're right. Brock Lesnar has been sloppy. You know, Brock Lesnar has been very stiff in the ring, but that's his angle. But to me, Brock Lesnar is a one-in-a-million attraction. He is a once-in-a-lifetime attraction that you should see once in a while wrestle. But I'm getting off track here. But he's been sloppy in the ring. He doesn't speak, so Paul Heyman has been doing it for him. And again, his wrestling action, him being stiff in the ring, him suplexing John Cena, has spoken for himself. And by him beating The Undertaker, again, it's in the ring. That's what I think. I think you're cranky because you paid $9.99 for the pay-per-view.
No, I didn't pay anything for the pay-per-view. I watched.
I paid for the pay-per-view.
No, I mean, that's where we just differ on it, because I think I see your point. I'm not saying your point's not valid here.
I see your point, too. I think it's 50-50, and it depends what side of the fence you're on. But you, again, are leaning more towards the mic skills. That's great, but I think the WWE just wants to get him there and then see what happens. Hey, if he's a flash in the pan,
But my thing is, when you get him there, what's the best way right now you can get him there? Neither way is easy. Trying to improve his mic skills from this point on to WrestleMania, I mean, it hasn't worked so far. It doesn't look like it's going to happen for WrestleMania. So like you said, Paul Heyman has to actually build this up, and they should be paying him a bundle for that. And his wrestling ability, he's been wrestling for, I would say, under maybe, it's been 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, I would say about 5 years just being in the family.
Because he started in FCW for like a year, and then it was hooked up with The Shield.
And then the look actually brought him, elevated him more. But Brian, here's the thing. You can get a Daniel Bryan, you can get a Seth Rollins, you can put him in a feud till like by Fastlane. You can do something in the ring where he comes out strong, just as Brock Lesnar. So my hurry wouldn't be to do the mic skills, because just like they did with Cena, yes, Cena's blessed with the mic skills. Yes, he is. But Cena, they also make him look strong in the ring. They make him look like Superman, so they can do the same thing to Roman Reigns.
But that's what they've been doing with him.
I know, and unfortunately, the WWE audience doesn't want to be force-fed this, and that's why it's not working. But I'm saying, if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm Triple H, I'm Stephanie, I'm the powers that be there, and I'm looking at Roman Reigns, and
can I get
invested,
a job then?
Sure.
Awesome.
On the payroll, put him on right now. If I've invested my time, and this is the guy that I'm going to roll with, okay, I need to find out. I need to analyze how am I going to get him there? How am I going to do it? Paul Heyman is the mouthpiece. He's a mouthpiece for Lesnar. He's also being the mouthpiece, and only the wrestling observer, only the real wrestling fan knows that wrestling fan was like, I was sold last night, and Roman Reigns stuttered in the first interview, and it was so-so in the second one, but I bought it. And that's what they want. They want people to buy it.
Okay. But, you know, we'll move on from this, but the thing is, you said they bought it. But they didn't buy it because of Roman Reigns. Again, they bought it because of Paul Heyman. Kudos to him. Okay, I get it.
Not disagreeing with you there.
All right. But you're telling me that we've spoke about this before a number of times. We're the type of guys, you and I, and a lot of other people who are very smart wrestling fans, that we for us, your person becomes legitimate and believable from what they do in the ring as opposed to what they say on the microphone. You know, that's why we're attracted to guys like Daniel Bryan and people just like him, because they're legit.
We can relate
to them.
We see the
art form. We appreciate for what it is, right? But again, it goes back to the same thing that I think we spoke last time in the first episode. We're not the demographic anymore. It's more for, you know, the younger audience and the kids. For those people that believe in John Cena and every word he says and how he talks and screams, they could care less of what he does in the ring. As they get older, they'll probably see it for themselves. But man, he's really bad in there. And you can see it as you get older and observe it. With Roman Reigns, the thing is, and here's my main point. Paul Heyman sold this for me. But if I don't believe anything that Roman Reigns says, Because a lot of this now, for all the superstars, is scripted. It's written for them with writers. Stone Cold Steve Austin brought up a great point one time where he mentioned, you know, I got to see it in their eyes. If they don't believe in themselves, why am I going to believe in them? Why am I going to pay a ticket for it? That's all I'm saying. I'm saying that to me, if I'm Vince McMahon in Triple H, I'm like, I gotta find some way, whether it's really limiting his vocabulary or just giving him certain things where he can say, to make me believe that this guy is legit, that this guy can go in there and beat up Brock Lesnar when Brock Lesnar just manhandled the man, John Cena, and Seth Rollins is probably one of the greatest upcoming stars in the WWE. That's all I'm saying. But am I excited to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar in the ring? No. I would have been more excited to see Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar because that's a storyline that you can't buy because it's the ultimate David versus Goliath. If nobody can relate to that, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, Daniel Bryan's not even believable. Who could ever believe Daniel Bryan could ever beat a monster like him? Again, that's where the story comes in. That's why it's so intriguing.
The only problem with Daniel Bryan, and I was thinking about it yesterday when you talk about David and Goliath, I would like to see that, but it takes away from the victory over The Undertaker because if The Undertaker can't beat Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan does, then there's issues there because that kind of intertwines with last year's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 30. Because
I don't think that takes away from anything.
I think it does. I think you're like, wait a minute. You know, okay, hey, Daniel Bryan won.
Well, this is going to lead to a whole different type of topic then. We should spend the whole show just talking about this because if you're going to tell me that it's legitimate for Roman Reigns, a guy who is terrible in the ring, and again, hey, I'm a fan of Roman Reigns, but I'm just saying it how it is. I'm just telling you how it is right now. I'm being honest, which I'm always am. You know, I think he has a lot of potential, like you said in the beginning, but not right now at this moment. He's not that good in the ring, and he's not that good on the mic. Neither is Daniel Bryan. But again, I believe more in Daniel Bryan, the character, than I believe in Roman Reigns. So if you're going to give that to Roman Reigns and kind of hand that to him on a silver platter just because he has a look and a marketability over somebody else, how much legitimacy is that The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar for that reason?
Well, I just think everyone's angry. I think everyone's angry because they feel he's being handed something he doesn't deserve yet. And
well, let me end this with a question. Let me end this with a question for you real quick. So if Roman Reigns wins, that's more legitimate than if Daniel Bryan beat him.
No, if he beat Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah. If Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar, then that legitimizes the fact that The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar. Because Roman Reigns is such a more believable person that could beat him.
No, because Daniel Bryan had his WrestleMania moment last year where he beat Batista and Randy Orton. So if Roman Reigns is the guy, then he's the guy. He's getting the rub off of a guy that beat The Undertaker. You know what I mean?
I guess I see it from that point, but I just don't think
if it would have been a better pay per view,
that would have made more of an intriguing story, in my opinion.
If it would have been a better pay per view, all in all. Maybe we wouldn't be as cranky as we are because you know what? The WWE let us down. There was a chance.
It really looked like they were making this up as they went along.
And it looked like, I mean, not too much more time into this, but I mean, could have gotten more guys from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could have gotten Randy Orton. Where's Randy Orton? Is he still injured? I mean, Jericho was in the building last night. It would have been great to see more stars. I cannot believe. The roster is that depleted.
We'll probably add these like the rants during the week.
We'll probably
post on SoundCloud.
Yeah, guys, please. Not only are we providing show content for you every week here on the High Spot, but we will also, hey, we don't like something, we're going to get on SoundCloud and we're going to rant. If it's about the NFL, is it about the Super Bowl, is it about hockey, is it about basketball, baseball, anything that happens in the world of sports, or just any hot topic, hot issue, we're going to rant about it and you're going to hear from us on SoundCloud.
Yeah, and just to clarify, it's not about us being angry or upset, it's more of us just voicing our opinions, and we want to hear your opinions as well. Do you agree with us? Do you not agree with us? You know, so you'll hear from us on SoundCloud. Facebook link's coming up pretty soon. So you have the ability to contact us and then be a part of the show as well.
Yeah, and here's the thing too, Brian. Again, I cannot believe that roster is so depleted, okay, that you need Titus O'Neil, Jack Swagger, and Big E Langston to fill the 20 and up as far as like the last guys in there. When I saw the ring and I saw that was it, when I saw Big Show, Kane, and I saw B. Langston and Jack Swagger, I was like, that's it?
I think this pay-per-view, more than anything, Jeff, just proved and exposed the depleted roster that WWE has. And they better work on it, because if not, they're going to be struggling for years to come.
So what'd you give the Royal Rumble then?
Oh, man, zero.
Zero?
If it wasn't for Brock Lesnar in the triple threat match, I would say five.
If it wasn't for the company that I was with, it would have been crappy. My night would have been screwed.
I'd give it 5.
Okay, and not to mention no snow. What's up with that? Oh, boy.
You listen to the High Spot, folks. It gets better, I promise.
Can you listen to the High Spot here alongside my tag team partner Jeff Martin? I'm Brian Berga. Super Bowl bound, Super Bowl hopes, not this year though. Great song, I like it.
Brian, normally when you play this, I was like, oh, you're just trying to poke fun at me. But that's not the case.
No, it's not the case. There's a purpose for everything.
There's
we
a reason. All right, so the reason why we are actually playing that is because we have the person that created that, and we're excited to have on the show. That is Matt Fox. Welcome to the High Spot.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm honored to be here.
We're going to talk about the Jets. We can talk about the Super Bowl, but, you know, honestly, let's talk about something that's more interesting.
And that's the Jets.
Yes.
Okay.
To me, it is, at least.
All right.
What do you think about the hiring of Todd Bowles?
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've known everything about Todd Bowles over the course of his career, but... Basically, everything I've read in the last few weeks seems to be very positive. I kind of like that he seems to be the complete antithesis of Rex in the sense that kind of reminds me of Mike Tomlin, the way they describe him. He's very kind of soft-spoken and just kind of all about accountability. Sounds just like Rex, huh?
Yeah, right?
Not quite. You know, he seems okay. I don't know how to feel about Chan Gailey as our new OC.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of issues with that one because it just seems like a conservative offensive coordinator, and that means that they might actually give Geno Smith another opportunity to mess things up again.
Interestingly, if you really listen to what he said about Geno, he's not giving him such a ringing endorsement. You know, he was a great college player. That's, you know, pretty much how he put it. And it's not...
Well, would you say it's true for any head coach that's coming in, they want to pick their own guy? So when they're like inherit somebody else, they're like, you know, I can't really talk bad about him because I'm new here. I haven't been here like this guy's been here for 2 seasons. So I have to try to be nice, but at the same time, just like if you're a general manager, you want to pick your own people. You don't want to, like we saw the experiment last season with the Jets with Izzy and Rex Ryan. You don't want to inherit something. You want to start over and start fresh.
Yeah, no question. When you draft the guy, criticizing him is essentially criticizing yourself when it's not your own draft pick. What the hell do you care if you throw him under the bus, basically? There's no question. And I think that might be the best thing that ever happened to Geno because now there is no loyalty. It's I either prove it or I become, at very best, a backup quarterback the rest of my life, at best. You know, I think guys like Geno need that constant, you know, incentive. They get complacent, I feel like, people like him. I think Sanchez was similar. And I think Rex began to learn how to deal with Geno better than Sanchez. If you remember, you know, Sanchez, all he did was blow smoke up his you-know-what. See, I didn't curse.
See, he wants to say the word ass, but you can say ass because...
I don't want to... Listen, it's your podcast. I'm trying not to... once I let one fly, God knows what happens.
Yeah, right. But when you believe it or not, you look at the movies now, ass is in PG.
Fair.
So.
You know what? Fair enough.
This isn't rated X.
Basically... Not yet.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah. Basically, he would never really criticize Sanchez. That was his board. That was his draft pick. For Christ's sake, he had a tattoo of him on his arm or his wife wearing a Sanchez jersey, whatever. With Geno, you know, Geno had a couple good games. The press is like, so Rex, what do you think about Geno? He had a good game. We'll see where it goes from here. He was very, you know, how do I basically put it? He controlled himself more. He didn't get too excited. He was kind of starting to make the kid earn it. Clearly, Rex didn't do that with everybody. That's why he's out of a job. Didn't hold people accountable. But now that it's a new coach, I think it's going to be like that times 10. Like, Geno, you are owed nothing. And yeah, you had a perfect QB rating the last game. How nice of you to make it the last game, by the way. If that wasn't jet lag, then I don't know what it is.
Get us that extra win, that meaningless win. Drop us lower in the draft rankings. Great.
That's just
great.
Just to make sure trying to give Jet Nation something to hope for, I guess. I don't know.
Jet Nation.
Jet Nation.
We got so much to talk about. I mean, yeah. Jet Nation, like, what is that? But
Jet life, brother. That's what I like it.
But again, you know, Rex's loyalty is what I think did him in, I think, at the end. And we go from a defensive coach in Rex to another defensive coach in Todd Bowles. What do you think was the logic there? Do you think he was just the best candidate, or do you think they should have gone with an offensive-minded coach? And if you think so, does any name come off the top of your head?
I have no names, first of all. Why did he hire a defensive coach? Look at Woody Johnson's track record. He has only hired defensive coaches. He hired Al Groh. He hired Herm Edwards. He hired Eric Mangini. He hired Rex Ryan. Now he's hired Todd Bowles. He's only hired defensive coaches. Now, I'd say it's because he likes defensive coaches, but let's be honest, Woody Johnson doesn't know shit about... Oh, I just said, damn it. There we go.
It's all right, folks.
Woody Johnson does
starts snowballing from here now.
No, I will control. Woody Johnson doesn't know anything about football. So it comes down to, you know, Bill Parcells essentially picked the first coach. The second coach, I don't know who picked Herm, to tell you the name was Bradway. I guess he hired Bradway, and Bradway did it.
I tried to block the Bradway era out, too, but...
I met him at Hofstra.
Did you?
He was the nicest freaking guy I ever met. I asked him the strangest question I guarantee you he's ever been asked in his life. I said, Terry, he was like walking to the student center to get a haircut or something because their, you know, facility was right there. I said, Terry, I got to ask you something. What's that? And this is after he just asked me about my school and stuff. So he was nice. And I'm just like, all right, I could ask him. Terry, who decides when you guys wear the green pants? Okay, I actually asked him that. He got so excited. Like, somebody actually asked him this question. He 10 minutes, he goes, oh, my God. Well, it's Herm. But I really like him at night. You know, the light shine. And he gets in this whole thing.
Wow.
Ever since then, I'm like, I got a little bond with Bradway.
Nice.
And then I felt really bad. But honestly, I got to be real here. Their drafts the past 4 or 5 years, how this guy kept his job as the head of, you know, player personnel or drafting and scouting and this was mind-boggling to me. He was almost like the Herb Williams of the Jets. He just never got fired, no matter who the coach was.
Well, when you get excited about the color of pants, instead of maybe focusing a little bit more on who the draft picks are.
When you're a Jet fan, what else is there?
Exactly. And I don't like the green pants, by the way. I like the all-solid white. I think that's sleek. It's plain, but it's just...
boring.
Speaking of boring, Brian, you have any more questions for Matt?
Speaking of boring, this has been a one-sided conversation talking about the Jets.
Talk about anything. I would love to talk about
anything interested
else.
In it. I mean, the main thing that I wanted to bring is Jeff and I in the first show, or in the first many shows that we practiced before we actually did the very first episode, we were like getting in each other's ear and literally screaming at each other because here's my belief. We're talking about the draft picks, right? And I came to the conclusion, I said, you know, a lot of people like to give Rex Ryan a lot of credit, and I think he's a great coach. He's a great players coach. He definitely inspires the players to, you know, want to run through a wall for him. But my biggest thing was, how successful can you really say Rex Ryan was when it came to the point then when he took this team over, when they let go of Eric Mangini, all the pieces were put in there for, you know, the ground and pound, the defensive players. These were not his draft picks. As soon as we started seeing Rex Ryan draft players during his time there, you started seeing the development. Maybe he's good as a coordinator of talent, but maybe not somebody who can pick talent out. And so we were talking during the draft, and Jeff's like, in this situation, you got to get an impact player. I'm like, are you going to sacrifice for the fact that you're in the position you're in the draft? Are you going to sacrifice, try to go all the way down, try to get one player? Or do you want to be smart, since this is now, when I'm sure Jet fans have heard it time and time again, a building process? Do we really want to start, you know, throwing our eggs in one basket to try to get one guy to hope he's like, Jeff likes to mention, an Odell Beckham? I mean, it's very rare occurrences. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Odell Beckham to be like that. Yeah.
Well, I don't. I would know an Odell Beckham because we don't have any guy like that. Because
who would be out there in the draft right now in their position? All the main guys would be gone.
I'll touch on your first point. First, basically, I agree with you. I really love Rex, okay? I defend him with friends and other people. I argue, they'll crap on Rex, and I defend the guy in the sense that if there's five categories of a head coach, I thought Rex exceeded in three of them, okay? But the two he could not exceed at is he was an atrocious talent evaluator. Atrocious. And you're 100% right. It was Mangini's guys. It was David Harris to anchor the D. Revis was drafted by Mangini. You know, Calvin Pace was already on the team. We had a very strong core on defense. He brought Bart Scott in and Jim Leonard. Okay, Leonard helped. Bart Scott stunk, if you ask me. I don't think he ever did anything except open his mouth.
Yeah, he never lived up to that contract.
No, not at all. His talent evaluation was atrocious, and holding players accountable, he was atrocious. In terms of this year's draft, because I'm a Jet fan, as Jeff will understand this, I tend to be very cynical about our draft picks. I don't care who the GM is, they generally stink, pretty much. We have many YouTube videos to prove that of our draft blunders. This year... It reminds me a little, almost like the year they drafted Sanchez. I'm not just saying this now. I didn't originally like that pick. I didn't think he was worthy of the fifth pick in the draft.
I thought they were going to go for Michael Crabtree, in my opinion, during that draft pick.
I think that was a perfect example of them reaching for something. Oh, we need a quarterback. We have the fifth pick in the draft. Let's just take a quarterback. You know what? If he's not worthy of that, look what you did. You wasted 4 years on the guy, a crap load of money. And we did nothing. We just we went backwards, basically. We ended up progressing from where we started with him to where we ended.
So, Jeff, if you're a GM then, what would you do? Like, this is the same conversation we're going to have before. You're in sixth position, right? You're the sixth pick to the draft. Jameis Winston's not going to be there. Mariota's not going to be there.
He might drop. And from we heard some reports saying that that Tampa is like really eyeing him to be the number one pick. So if Winston falls down, because if you look at the other people, the Raiders don't need a quarterback. Tennessee might, but they might give their other quarterback a shot. So I think Winston could drop, or maybe the Jets try to move up.
Do you really want Jameis Winston?
Besides the character issues. Besides,
if Santonio Holmes wasn't a horrible person, he would have been great on the Jets. Like,
just sew his pockets so he can't take crab legs.
Right.
Especially this last season, Jeff, we found out more than not that character flaws are more important than anything else right now. You can have all the talent in the world, and we can go back and talk about, we're not going to dive into the Ray Rice situation.
Look at Josh Gordon.
Adrian
he's
Peterson,
not even beating
Josh,
people, right? Yes. He's just smoking weed or cough syrup, whatever the heck he's admitting to, at least. And he's now out almost two whole seasons. He's going to be out next season, too, just because he's irresponsible. You can't count on him. Yeah.
Jeff brought the question to me about, who'd you pick, Jameis Winston or Mariota? And I said, as much as Jameis Winston have all the athletic ability or the prototypical quarterback that you want, I would still pick Mariota, because when I look at Mariota, I see maybe somebody who can learn in a system, not like the spread offense type of system the Jets are doing West Coast style. But to me, I see the guy's a teammate. He's a leader. You can't teach that, in my opinion. You're either born a leader or you're not.
I'll give you that. Oregon quarterbacks just scare me. They're very unsuccessful historically in the NFL. Playing in a spread offense in college, and then especially – this is actually – I need to answer your question before this ties into it.
Okay.
Am I happy we got a defensive coach or an offensive coach? Personally, no. I wanted an offensive coach. Like, at some point, we keep hiring defensive guys, and as long as I can remember, we can't score points, ever. From Chad, who – is a deity to me, Chad Pennington for life, okay?
Oh, I could catch his passes. That's how good he was.
All right. They were so soft, okay? It didn't go more than 20 yards.
And they looked so
yards.
Nice, too, going up,
exactly.
Way up in the air and coming down.
The trajectory.
I'm sure the wide receivers appreciate his throws.
Right. I would have preferred an offensive guy. So now that we didn't get an offensive guy, you have a decent idea for the kind of team he probably wants to mold. We need a cornerback more than anything. We can't even dream of getting a winning record again until we get at least one more cornerback. At least two. Let me take that back. I was telling Jeff before we started recording, basically Cromartie now wants to come back, I'm reading. He loves bowls in Arizona. The fact that we even let him go to begin with is insane. The only positive thing I could say about that is at least the idiot who did that is fired. Being a Jet fan is almost like you just lower your expectations to the floor because you are so freaking tired of having your heart ripped out and stomped on. It's not just ripped out. They stomp on it. It's the most painful possible way to lose. It makes you wonder, would you rather be the Cleveland Browns and just be miserable and never have hope? Or actually get occasional hope only for it to just kind of turn into a nice cold bucket of water in the face? I was really dejected after last season. I'm like, we finished 8-8 with Geno. His first year as a rookie goes 8-8. How can we possibly get worse? We can only get better from here. We could even make the playoffs maybe. Now, you played the Jet song I did. I listened to that, and I feel like such an idiot that I wasted time doing that. Like,
so Matt, by doing these wonderful music collaborations
these
that you do.
Compilations, yes.
Yes. What do you look forward to now? Are you kind of like scratching, like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Like,
well, there will be no more musical.
Look what I have
pieces
to work with.
Yeah, no, there will be no more musical.
Really?
Pieces.
So that's retired now that Rex is gone.
A lot of stuff rhymes with Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, I was inspired by Rex. I had a loudmouth coach who was like, yeah, like, screw you. We're going to stomp on your face and eat your damn lunch. You know what I mean?
Wow,
I was
so
like,
no more historic right here.
Well, the
first
good thing,
ever,
though, is.
Yeah, they'll have to earn it. I'll put it that way. They're going to have to earn it if it ever happens again. No more, you know, it's Bulls gangrene, I guess we can make
the good
it.
Thing is, the good thing is that a lot of stuff rhymes with Bulls. McKagan, I don't know.
I heard when I heard he got hired, I'm like, wow, think about the fodder the New York Post is going to have for the next couple of years. But you can make it the Bowls if they play big, be Super Bowls.
If we had Marone, which I'm glad we didn't, it'd be Doug Moron. So, I mean, thank God we don't, you know, thank God we didn't get that.
What an idiot. He quits his job, and now he's like the assistant head coach on, you ready for this? Jacksonville.
The offensive line coach, and this isn't, like, you know, coach.
Jacksonville.
That's a bad play.
I mean, listen, I don't want to live in Buffalo, but I really don't want to live in Jacksonville.
But, Matt, hopefully, you know, you'll come on again, and definitely we can talk about, you know, other stuff.
Let's get some current event stuff going. I want heavy discussions. I want an in-depth ISIS discussion.
Oh,
I want
a free speech
discussion. I want a religious discussion.
Well, we have.
I want New York City traffic discussions.
Oh,
let's talk about the bums downstairs. Okay, the guy selling CDs around the corner, chasing you if you don't.
Just take the CD.
My best. I walk by. Yo, white boy. Yeah, that's the best way to get me answered. Then they go, yo, big boy. Another great way not to get me to turn around.
That piece that you did on the Jets, 2014. Mm-hmm. Where can we find that? Especially when we YouTube it, what do we got to do? And we know it's all part of the Fox experience. And I'm sure, I know I felt the Fox experience.
You know,
today.
You find that in the inner regions of his soul. That's where you find that music.
So, where do you find your music?
My soul can be found at thefoxexperience.com.
Yeah.
You could search for some YouTube stuff. Got some stuff in the works right now. No sports stuff, though.
Well, what do you have going on right now?
I wrote a. I've taken a little departure from lovey dovey songs, you know, kind of to license those to other people. And I'm more, not to get into politics, but after the thing with the whole police accountability and Eric Garner, I wrote a protest anthem. Started out police centric, but then I'm like, you know what, this is too polarizing. I made it a generational protest anthem. And then after that, I saw how people started yelling at each other. So I made my hippie peace anthem. So now I'm just like, you know what, it's.
Yeah, like peace, love.
Yeah, it's just people keep yelling at each other. Nobody listens. Nobody wants to talk anymore, man. Everyone just wants to yell at each other. Like with the police thing, the cops are like, you're ungrateful, you hate us. And then if you're against them, like, no, you must hate police. No, maybe let's just talk to each other and understand so I could sympathize with the cops and the cops could sympathize with me. You know, and it's just every, like, even in sports, man. It's, do you notice all the people defending Deflategate, by the way?
Oh, all the celebrities. Oh, yeah.
Not just celebrities. Who kind of fans are they?
Patriot fans.
Right, because they're not real. It's subjective. It's
exactly.
Like, no, I'm going, this is my corner. I'm going to my corner. We'll fight your corner. It's like, can we just be real that if this was another team, it would bother you? It's like.
And even though it's something so stupid as deflating balls by like 2 ounces, the fact that we're like glorifying cheating and laughing about it is it's funny to me. If it's another team, oh my God, let's throw the book at them and stuff. And, you know, it's just sickening because, you know, the NFL is not going to suspend Tom Brady or Bill Belichick for this Super Bowl.
They're just hoping it goes away. They're hoping everybody forgets about it.
Well, you knew they weren't going to punish him before the Super Bowl, but I'll leave you with this one. John Stewart had a funny clip I saw the other day where he's like, Marshawn Lynch doesn't really want to speak to the media, but if he doesn't, he will get a $500,000 fine from the NFL.
We're worried about Beats headphones.
He's wearing a Beast Mode hat. If you wear Beats headphones, by the way, Beats stink. Bose for life. I'm not getting paid to say that.
sure?
I love Bose. I'm sorry. I'm a sound snob. But you know what I mean? It's just, look at the priorities. Oh, if he doesn't speak to the media, let's throw $500,000 we're going to basically deduct from him. Oh, but you cheated? All right. The owner eats dinner at my house once a week and helped me get my job as commissioner, and I'm just basically going to do anything he has.
Yeah, and when the whole Ray Rice thing came out, where was the commissioner? Why didn't he talk? Well, why didn't he get fined for not talking? But Marshawn Lynch, hey, I get it. It's a privilege to be in the Super Bowl. I get it. You you have commitments. I get sometimes in your job you do things you don't want to do. But again, it's just that it's hard for me to side with the league anymore because they've just been so atrocious this year in protecting their brand.
Have you heard Marshawn Lynch speak?
I know.
Who the hell would want to listen to him speak? He's an idiot. It's like if you heard Chris Johnson speak after a Jet game. I don't know what language he's speaking.
And if I'm the reporter, there's a point where, like, okay, this guy's not going to talk. Right. I'm sure you got Russell Wilson, you got Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
It's not
the
like
man.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
Richard
not like
Sherman's the
man.
Yeah.
It is not like you're running out of material to use down in their Super Bowl. So I mean, if Marshawn Lynch doesn't want to talk, hey, ignore it. That's all you got to do. Ignore it. Give him his 5 minutes and let him go away.
It's about money, brother.
And I just think one day, eventually, something is going to happen where the NFL, you know, they think they're untouchable. They think that everything's just going to deflect off of them. One day, something is going to happen, and then their integrity is going to be questioned, and then there's no way for them to come back. And, of course, you know when I realized that this guy made it big over here? Because I'm driving, and I'm listening to with Steve Summers, and all of a sudden, the Fox experience comes blasting out. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Shoes.
Oh, my God. I know this guy. And now he's on the show, so that makes our show listenable.
Finally, we put credibility to
Finally.
The show.
Finally.
And I'm glad you got a Steve Summers mention, and that man is the man.
Yeah, no, and Brian's also talked to him, too, and he's a really good guy.
I called him up a long time ago before, you know, my Jet song, whatever, just as a caller, and I'm like, I wanted to be memorable, so I said, it's Fox from Great Neck, okay? And he answered, he's like, Fox, do you like Lux? I'm like, nah, not really, Steve. He's like, me either. It's a little salty. And like, he just started talking about it for like 5 minutes. He's like, I wish more were like him, you know.
No, really, really good guy.
There's more and more Evan Roberts and less Steve Summers.
So you've seen Matt Fox's work on such shows as Boomer and Carton. You heard him on Steve Summers, Hot 97, ESPN. Actually, you did the theme song for Brandon Tierney and Jody Mack.
So hopefully this
guy's success like rubs off on us. You know, maybe just a little bit.
I think we need a Jeff and Brian theme song.
We should. Oh, my God.
There we go.
There we go.
That'd be
oh,
awesome.
My God. Matt Fox.
Unfortunately, I cannot actually sing myself. I write it. I don't sing it. That's
like
way.
A Jeff and
no,
Brian.
We need you to sing it. Right. We need you to sing it.
On the podcast.
Only if I could sing it in a character.
There
but,
you
go.
I
get what you're saying. Matt, really, thank you for coming on to the show. We appreciate it. Done a huge favor for us.
Hey, hopefully, a little Fort Minor in the headphones as we go out. I like
same.
This.
Hopefully,
yeah,
hopefully you
music.
Come back.
Yeah.
Not a one-time deal. Matt Fox on the high spot. Brian, take it away.
Ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Change one NFL rule? I wish everybody stopped fining my man Marshawn. That's the only thing I wish. Everything else is pretty good.
Every team should be forced to present certain players, you know, obviously a few of them, but if obviously someone's uncomfortable in front of the media and uncomfortable answering questions and things like that, you have to find a way to accommodate them as well. You know, this is a game. You find a way to accommodate everyone else who's uncomfortable with it. I don't think they should be obligated any more than the commissioner is obligated to speak to the media. I think that if the players are going to be obligated to speak to the media, then every one of the NFL personnel should be obligated to speak to the media weekly.
That was Media Day. As we can actually talk about the Super Bowl. I'm not going to talk about any more deflated balls. Enough. But Media Day today, and again, Marshawn Lynch isn't speaking. You're going to hear the normal...
It's probably the best.
...dumb questions about stupid rules, and then Richard Sherman's going to speak his mind, which I don't mind, actually, because he's probably the most entertaining of everybody there at the Super Bowl. If you like Marshawn Lynch's humor... But let's talk about the Super Bowl. Enough about the Flate Gate. I'm done. No more. No mas. So, Brian, who do you think is going to win the game?
I really have no idea. This is the kind of Super Bowl which in a long time there's never been a clear-cut favorite in my view of this game. So it can really go either way. I mean, we've talked about it at length, about if you take one thing away from them on either side of the ball, whether it be offensively or defensively, they're very vulnerable. People are talking about how the Seattle Seahawks are a team that racks up the points. I mean, they don't have the receivers to do it, and as much as the defense of the Patriots has improved, they're kind of, I don't know, they're not, to me, a great run-stopping defense, which, you know, you have Marshawn Lynch back there. So, like I said, this is a more evenly matched Super Bowl than I've seen in a long time, and you know how I feel about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Whenever you see a team this successful, you're just so sick and tired of watching, unless you're the fan of that team always being successful. So, call me a hater. Like I said, call me a hater.
Hater.
There you go. That's what I am. So, in this one,
wanted me to call you a hater.
I got Seattle winning it, but not by much. It's going to be a close game.
Not by much. That's why we pay him the big bucks. Not by much. Can't even give me a freaking score. What's the score?
What, did you ask for a score?
Well, I mean, who are you going to win? And then you give me a, I don't know. So, give me a score. What's the final score?
What's that? A final score.
I'm trying to read what your mind is saying. So if Brian's mind,
yeah, Jeff's
that's
great.
What it
Jeff's
sound.
Jeff's great at reading people. Can't even read himself.
Not at all. Can't even read this cue sheet we got over here.
It's dark in the studio.
Yeah, cause it's late night.
All right, if I want to score here, I'll probably say the score will be 27-24. So it'll be high scoring in a way, but it's going to be a grind out in terms of point scoring. But yeah, it'll be a good one. Seattle winning.
I think that the Patriots need to attack Sherman. I think that they need to see if he really is legitimately hurt. I'm not going to say throw it all the time towards him, but you really need to try to do that. You need to see if he's going to cover Edelman, is he going to cover LaFell, but you really need to take a shot there. You just can't have it one-sided. I don't think, again, Green Bay took enough shots after Sherman was hurt. So, I mean, if anyone's going to be mad at themselves for not, you know, being in the Super Bowl right now, it's Green Bay. They have nobody to blame but themselves. You know, long drives, I think, also, too, is a key because I think that the Patriots need to have consistent offensive drive. And I think that they need to eat up a lot of clock. And I think running the ball with LeGarrette Blount, I think that's going to be a huge key. Keep them off the field. Maybe wear down the defense of the Seahawks. And the one thing that the Packers did was they were able to move the ball on them. So I think the Patriots offense will be able to do that too.
I mean, sustaining long drives has been kind of the marquee of this team since the regular season. They don't really have a playmaker. Seasons before, they had Wes Welker. Now you have Edelman, you have Gronkowski, you have Amendola. These guys don't really, besides Gronkowski, don't really stand out to you as huge threats. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind Gronkowski is going to be double teamed. He's going to have a corner safety on top of him. So it's really going to be up to Edelman, and it's going to be really up to Amendola of what they can do. But again, a lot of this whole game, in my opinion, depends on the running game.
Who would you take, though? Would you take the Patriots receivers or the Seahawks receivers?
I'd probably take the Seahawks receivers in this in this respect. Wow. In this respect, because they're very good at when the play's breaking down, and this is something that's been brought up a lot during media day and during a lot of coverage of the Super Bowl. You look at the two quarterbacks here. I mean, you can't. There's no way of comparison in terms of the accomplishments that Tom Brady's had over Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, in a few seasons, has accomplished a lot. More than anybody expected him to be. Now he's in this chance to have a back-to-back Super Bowl victory and title. That's impressive. But for the resume Tom Brady has, the only difference is when you compare the styles of these two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson is probably one of the best that I know that when the play breaks down, I mean, not one of the best because he's no Aaron Rodgers, for example. He's the best that when the play breaks down to extend the play. Russell Wilson is great at doing that, extending the play and allowing his receivers to alter the routes. Tom Brady, and we've seen this from previous Super Bowls, my experiences with the New York Giants, as soon as he's pressured, you're in his face. He's not that liable. You can frustrate him.
You'll see it in his face.
And when the timing and rhythm is off for Tom Brady, it gets very difficult for the offense to start, throwing the ball consistently.
But I'm just saying to you, though, I don't think that the Seahawks have advantage in the wide receiver area because do you know who's covering for the Patriots? I think a guy I think all us Jeff fans know pretty well, and Darrell Revis. I think that's a huge, huge advantage for the Patriots. Listen,
that's on one side of the ball,
though.
Listen,
I think, though, that the Seahawks wide receivers are mediocre at best. I really, Doug Baldwin doesn't scare you. Luke Wilson doesn't scare me. Luke Wilson, the actor, scares me more than Luke Wilson, the wide receiver.
Especially that broken nose.
No, that's Owen. That's Owen Wilson. Luke Wilson is
a Wilson,
guy from my favorite
least.
Movie, Blue Streak, which Brian loves Martin Lawrence.
You watch them more than The Godfather.
All the time. Oh, well.
And Jeff's a huge Godfather. Yeah. The Godfather was on like last night. Jeff couldn't help watching. I'm surprised Blue Streak wasn't on. If you had to choose between the two, which
Leave
one would it be?
Take the cannolis.
Which one would
that's
it be?
That's tough. I'm going to say Godfather. Though.
Okay. Yeah, depends on your mood, though.
Yeah, it is my mood. Yeah. But, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take the Patriots wide receivers there. And on defense, I think the Patriots need to keep a spy on Russell Wilson. I need a lot of things. But what do the Patriots
yeah,
need?
So do I.
I need a nap right about now. But the Patriots, I think they need to keep a spy on Russell Wilson. I think that that's going to be very key. And, again, they need to stop Marshawn Lynch. They need to keep him from making the big plays because as Marshawn Lynch goes, so does that offense. Once he starts running the ball, it's wide open because you need to put the guys in the box, and that's how the Seahawks, I think that's how their offense works. If Marshawn Lynch doesn't go, Page is going to have a really great shot.
I agree with your assessment there. You're not impressed by the receivers of Seattle. I mean, who would be? I mean, I'm not going to underrate them in terms of their notoriety of the playmaking abilities that they have when they're put in the right position. But they're not game changers. I get that. But at the same token, you said the New England Patriots on the defensive end have Darrelle Revis. That's great. That's one side of the ball. A healthy Richard Sherman and a Chancellor on the other side. And
Earl Thomas
is a safety.
And it's surprising that he's friends with Ray Lewis.
Exactly,
funny thing,
right?
Ray Lewis, a man of the cloth that I found out today.
Oh, you didn't know about
cloth.
That?
What the heck is this world coming to? Ray Lewis, a man of the cloth.
Wow. Jeff really didn't like that comment.
No. I mean, no, because it's religious stuff. You're religious, that's fine, but, you know, I mean, just...
Well, everybody nowadays, is religious, and, you know, they either do it because they really believe in it or they're trying to promote whatever it is they're promoting. But again, like you said, yeah, you know, those personal things, we don't really need to know it. If you are, great. If you want to thank God, hey, thank God. But again, don't make it into a Tim Tebow thing.
Now everyone's seeking advice from Ray Lewis, some counseling from Ray Lewis. I just find it, wow, just amazing 10 years ago.
That guy can't motivate them.
I would never have. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. Hey, he motivated them to a Super Bowl win, the Ravens.
I remember
the 49ers. He
did those Under Armour commercials, and he's like, we must protect this house.
Yeah, no, he
did. It was awesome. I psyched up.
So listen,
got a whole bunch of Under Armour shirts.
So Brian,
didn't fill them out as much.
I know you really care what I think the score is. So I'm going to tell you before you can ask me. That's how much I'm excited to tell you. The
I didn't
score
get to finish my
game.
Point though.
What is your point?
The point before the score is like I said before. We talked about the receivers, right? Okay, you have more coverage on the Seattle defensive side in terms of cutting receivers than you do with New England side. That being said, Darrelle Revis, a great cornerback, did great things with the Jets. Small little stint in Tampa Bay, still recovering from an ACL surgery. Should be back to 100% now, despite any injuries he had during the season. But again, if you could be the best corner in the world, but if you're covering a player longer and the play is running and running, you can only cover a receiver for so long. So it doesn't matter if he's a good receiver or not. You can only do so much. So that's the reason why I'm giving Seattle Seahawks receivers a little bit more in this game than New England's receivers.
I will take Gronkowski over anybody.
They're probably going to put three guys on him and just say, the rest of you try to beat us.
Yeah, true. But I think that if they get him rolling, I think he'll be a big key. So,
well, hopefully, I guarantee he'll have more catches in the Super Bowl than he did in the AFC Championship game.
So are you coming
with
over?
With fully flated balls.
Are you coming over for the Super Bowl? Yeah, there better be no controversy about this whatsoever. I better not hear about.
All I had to do is mention that you got heated.
I better not hear about deflated spikes. I better not hear about the turf being. I do not want to hear anything anymore of this. I'm sick of it. And so are you coming over? Am I coming over? Are you working? What are we doing here?
I don't know what my schedule is. I'll probably be working at night though. But yeah, I'll probably be able to come over and hang out for a little bit.
Yeah. What do you want? Wings? Chips?
That's the funny thing. There's been a study on the Daily News. I saw this about that come Super Bowl Sunday. It's the largest shortage of chicken wings on any given day. It's the shortest amount of chicken wings, a shortage in the world of chicken wings now because the Super Bowl is coming up.
For all you chickens out there that are making the ultimate sacrifice, we thank you. We give you a round of applause just for sacrificing themselves. For the Super Bowl. Thank you very much.
Okay, where do you go from there?
I don't know. Go home? You see, here's the thing.
We are
home.
I
take my time out.
We are home. We're here.
I take my time out and I ask you what the score is, but you don't ask me.
Because I don't want to know.
Well, all right, you don't want to know? Well, I'll tell you what the simulator, the computer simulator that's been, they've done this whole thing with analytics. They put every kind of stat out there, and it says that after 50,000 different kinds of, what do you call it? 50,000
scenarios?
Of scenarios. Good, good, good. Good, Brian's on point. Yes, that the Seahawks will win 24-20. So I'm going to go with the computer says. When are computers ever wrong?
That's pretty close
to my
score.
They tell you the weather forecast, then you know, then you got to worry about it. But other than that.
What's a meteorologist that are telling us the weather forecast?
Yeah, but they follow the computer.
Easily misinterpreted.
Yeah, just like a lot of people think a computer would do a better job than us than we did tonight.
I think we're doing good. We're being ourselves here. I mean,
no, we are actually no. Hey, listen.
The first episode, I was feeling under the weather. You were having an issue there. By the way, your hair looks great.
Thank you very much.
It does. How's it feel?
Thank you, Will.
It's like that. It's like that third day setting in, right? It's what 4 days since you got your hair cut.
About the fourth day, so I'm feeling.
That's
good.
Usually the best. The third or fourth day when your hair grows in, you really feel its best. Yeah. Not when it's the first initial cuts and then you smell like barbershop. But yeah, I mean, it looks good, and I'm feeling a lot better. But you know, we're tired, guys. We work 24/7, basically 365 days a year. So we're doing this. We're running on fumes right now, but we're giving you everything we have. But yeah, the score is similar to mine. But the thing I find funny about that is that a lot of things like that, the information gets put in the computer. It's all left to interpretation. It's about the information you put in that computer. And I can't wait till they start doing the thing where the animals start picking the Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
Twice for the Giants. The animal, whatever, I think it was a dog once, and then it was an octopus.
Yeah,
picked the Giants
to
win.
Like the groundhog weather's going to come out, and we're going to have more longer winter.
But at least
now,
picking the Super Bowl victor is more accurate than deciding whether winter's going to be here another 4 or 7 weeks.
Yeah. So, Brian, enjoy the Super Bowl, my friend.
Are you excited for the Super Bowl? I'm not really into it. I'm not really that excited for it in terms of storyline. I think the Deflategate was pretty interesting.
I think it wore us out. I think that usually you hype up the game for 2 weeks and you find some other kind of backstories, but this has been about deflated footballs.
You had Green Bay in the Super Bowl,
though. Green Bay and
I bet you if Aaron Rodgers was 100%, it'd be a different story right now.
Oh, yeah. No, at first I thought that the weather was fine and that his calf would have acted up a little bit better, but it just didn't, and he was off. And the funny thing is, I talk about my man crush Aaron Rodgers, and had the one chance for him to show off and tell him how he was, you know, how good he was, and it just didn't come through. And those happened, even to the best of them. But clearly, is the MVP of the league this year. So, am I excited about the Super Bowl? We'll see. I think it's going to be a good game. I just don't think that with all that's happened, we just haven't been able to get excited about it.
I honestly have not been excited since the start of this season, and that's really tough for me to say because we work in sports, folks, and maybe I've just been desensitized to it. Sometimes when you're around it so much, you kind of lose the fact of what it's like to be a fan. But, again, it's been an exciting season regardless. It's all going to come to a close, and nobody cares about the Pro Bowl because nobody watched the Pro Bowl a lot.
That happened?
Yeah.
How about them having to copy from NHL rules? How sad is that they have to steal an NHL idea.
That's a credit to the NHL, but again, they'll never get the credit for it from the NFL or any other league out there.
Yeah, that's our first NHL reference, and we would have made more, but we're just running out of time here.
First
Brian,
of many.
Yes, Brian, thank you very much. Again, the Super Bowl is this Sunday. Watch it. Eat. Gives you a chance to eat. Break your diet. Eat. Wings, chips, dip, chili, beer. Enjoy, folks. This is Jeff Martin. Brian Berga.
Yep, that's me.
Yep, say bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
The High Spot will be back next week. Enjoy.
Check us
Super
on,
Bowl.
Check us on Facebook and SoundCloud, folks.
Eat.